So, I was at a bris yesterday morning. I haven't got much sleep, unfortunately. This was also at 6 o'clock in the morning, because my kid woke up, and my wife was sick, and it didn't work out well. So I'm a little tired, but I was at a bris yesterday morning, and I love it how this happens. I go through the week now, and anytime I see something that has anything to do with a bris, I check it off, or anything to do with a Shalom Zachar, or anything you can think of, I check it off, and I mark it down, because just in case I forget and there's a bris or a Shalom Zachar that week, and I'm asked to speak, it's something that everybody should know, just in case you're asked to speak, just mark down something that you just saw that week that has something to do with it. I got really lucky. I was doing the main base of Shoeva, Rav Schwab. He brings up a whole big thing about bris milah, about something. And I realized, I checked it off, and I'm like, you know, just in case. So I had two brises this past week and a Shalom Zachar. So I've gotten lucky. I'm 1 for 2 so far in speaking. I don't know if I'm speaking this Friday night, but I got the board ready. And I'm going to be telling it to you now. So if you're at the Shalom Zachar tonight, don't give the answer before I start. The idea is the following. Rav Schwab talks about the bris, but I start off like this. In Parshas Pekudei, quite a few times, 19, 20, it's machlokas, but different variations thereof, it says the word kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. That they made this, they made that, they made all the different parts of the Mishkan, all the different parts of the big day Kohen Gadol, the bigadim of the regular Kohanim. Whenever it went through anything that they made, it says kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. It says it every single time. Every single time. The question that's asked is, why do you have to say it every single time? Just say one all-encompassing kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. This is what God told Moshe Rabbeinu to do. That should be the most obvious thing to do. That way you can have it in the beginning, or you can have it at the end. And then you realize that everything they did was kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So the Baal Shem Tov brings down that the Torah wants to point out that Bnei Yisrael did everything l'shma, l'shem shamayim. You might have thought that they would have thoughts of the Egel Azav. The reason why they were bringing this gold was because they knew this was a kapara for the Egel Azav. So maybe while they were bringing the things or making everything, they were saying, oh, this should be a kapara for me. It should make me be forgiven. And I feel so bad. You'd think they were thinking that. No, it was l'shma. It was l'shem shamayim. They only had thoughts, kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. The only reason why I'm doing this is because this is what God told Moshe Rabbeinu to do. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu told me to do. If they were doing it just for that reason. No pnius, no other things involved. You know, there's very few mitzvos that we ever do that have no pnius, that have nothing else involved when I'm doing the mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, usually there's something else that's making me do the mitzvah. For example, going to Shacharis in the morning, one of the reasons why you might go is because if you don't go, I'll kill you. That would be a good reason. That would be a paniya. Meaning there would be another reason involved as to why you're going to Shacharis, because you know that I'm going to end up going into your room and I'm going to slam the door, I'm going to turn on the light, I'm going to make you feel bad. I'm going to make you feel bad about it. Same goes with Seder. Then when a person comes to Seder, it's not just because he wants to learn, it's because he knows that he's going to be beaten if he doesn't. And I have that on tape now, so yes, you can sue me. A person realizes, there might be something else involved. There might be something else involved as to why a person is going to daven or why a person is going to learning. It could even be that a person is, I'm always there for Seder, and I'm always there for davening. If I miss, then everybody's going to look at me and say, what happened? Why did you miss? And I just don't want to miss because I don't want to have to deal with people's questions. Well, that's not lishma. That's because you just don't want to have the questions asked of you. You wear tefillin, probably for the good reasons, for the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to wear tefillin, but it might also be that you feel a little bit of guilt. That's not a problem necessarily, it's still a bit lishma, it's just not totally lishma. It's not totally lishma. If these people, Bnei Yisrael, the Dor Dea, was sitting there making kalim for the Beis HaMikdash, they were making begadim for the Beis HaMikdash, and sitting there, and they said to themselves, nobody would blame them, that they knew that these kalim, if made correctly, would be a kapara for the Egel Azov. Nobody would blame them for thinking to themselves, I'm also going to get a kapara. I'm doing this because Moshe Rabbeinu told me to do it.
And Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. But you know what? Also, I know I'm getting a kapara. Nobody would blame them. It would be very normal to do. But Bnei Yisrael didn't do that. They only did it Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Each thing had specific kavanas. Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, and that's it. So Baal Shem Tov says it didn't want to do an all-encompassing one. Kadosh Baruch Hu said this is an unbelievable feat of Bnei Yisrael. This is an unbelievable thing that Bnei Yisrael were able to do. So it mentions by every keli and everything they made, Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, to point it out and to tell you this is what they did. This is the that was the beginning of the vort. The good thing is that I love Rav Ephraim Tversky. Rav Ephraim Tversky from Kal Chasidim and Pratt. Every time I see him, so he's a big Chassam Sofer. I don't want to say guy, Rav. Big Chassam Sofer Nick. There you go. That also sounds a little bit bad. It sounds like a guy named Nick. So he's a big guy. He's into the Chassam Sofer. And I love the Chassam Sofer. I've Torah's Moshe and the Chassam Sofer Allah Torah, the Drashos, the Shalos, the Chuvas. He's just the Chassam Sofer. He's unbelievable. So every time I ever say something in front of Rabbi Tversky, he always brings me at least one Chassam Sofer. This time I not only happened to see Rabbi Tversky at the Bris, he was at the Bris, but I also saw him later on that night at Rabbi Tversky's wedding, Rav Chaim Tversky's wedding. It's because of that, I was able to get three vorts from the Chassam Sofer from him. That worked out a lot better, because I sat next to him. All good things, all good things. So this one really hit the spot, though. Everybody knows the famous Gemara of David HaMelech, that David HaMelech goes into a bathhouse, and he was standing there, Arum. And he's standing there, and he said, how could it be that I'm standing there without any mitzvahs? I don't have any mitzvahs. So I don't have tefillin on my head, I don't have tzitzit on my bag, I don't have anything. So what mitzvah do I have? And David HaMelech got happy because he said, I have the bris milah. The bris milah is always with me. Since it's with me, I'm okay. So the Chassam Sofer, there's Rabbi Tversky's question, and then the Chassam Sofer's question. So the Chassam Sofer's question is, how could that be there were no other mitzvos, that he had nothing else with him? There are six mitzvos that you constantly have in your head every single second of the day. The six mitzvos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are six mitzvos. Those things don't go out when you're in a bathhouse. You might not be able to think Torah, but you still can think of God. It's not when you go in a bathhouse, God goes off. Your kippah goes off, but it's not God. God is still with you. That's Chassam Sofer's question. Rabbi Tversky's question was, what about Pais? You still have Pais. You still have other things. I thought that was brilliant. But there's still other things that a person has. I mean, there's no other mitzvahs? There's nothing else that you have? And the bris milah is the only thing? So Schwab says, and I had this board before, I don't know if this was mine or if I heard it from somebody, but I saw it in the Rav Schwab, and I've had this board for years. I just didn't know. K'shem shenichnes l'bris, k'en yikanis l'tayra l'chupa l'maisim tovim. That just like the kid enters the bris, he should go and learn Torah, then get married, and then do good deeds. You notice that the good deeds come last. This, because you don't really know how to do a good deed until you have a wife, and you realize, all right, I'll give up. I'll give in. That's the maisim tovim. So I always had this word, and I said to myself, you know what the pshat is? Pshat is, in a bris milah, the kid doesn't have a choice. The kid's doing it, and the parents are doing it. The parents aren't. There's no parent in the world that looks at their kid when they're 8 years old and says, you know what, I'll bet I could cut him. I'll bet I could make him bleed. No parent wants to do that. No parent likes the fact that there's a bris milah happening to his son at the age of 8 days. No parent would like it if it happened at the age of 8 years. Even at the age of 80 years. You don't like it when there's a cut, when a person is purposely cutting their own child. But why are you doing it? A bris milah is a perfect example of Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. There's no other pnios. There's nothing else involved. I don't even want to give the bris, so to speak. I wouldn't do it in a million years if it weren't for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If it weren't for Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. That's the idea behind a person saying, I'm doing something that's L'shem Shemayim. And the kid didn't have a choice. Nobody asks the child. There's no reshus from the child. Do you mind? The kid doesn't have a choice. You go up to the kid and you give him a bris milah. You give him a bris milah. So what we're saying is, just like the bris happened without any pnius, without any other issues, it was done purely l'shem shemayim, so too, he should do Torah, he should learn Torah, he should get married, and he should do Maisim Tovim, L'Shem Shemayim. When he does a good deed, it's not because other people see him do it. When he gets married, it's not because he thinks to himself, oh, I have to get married, for whatever reason, taivas or whatever things out there. He's doing it purely for the mitzvah. When he learns Torah, it's not for the fact that he wants to be a massive Talmud Chacham. He's learning Torah because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said that I have to learn Torah. So just like you come into a bris and you have that, Keni Karnas Torah L'Chopal Ma'isim Tov. You have all those three things, and it's the exact same idea of Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, that I want to do it. Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, I want to do it in that way. And David HaMelech looked down at his bris milah and said, this is the only mitzvah that I've had, that I have, that I did L'Shem Shemayim. So Chassam Sofer says the bathhouse is not a bathhouse. It wasn't literally in a bathhouse. Arum means he was sitting there and looking at himself and saying, is there a single mitzvah that I've ever done that's L'Shem Shemayim? In fact, if we said David HaMelech, every single mitzvah he did was L'Shem Shemayim. But for David HaMelech himself, looking at himself, is there a single mitzvah that I've ever done that's purely L'Shem Shemayim, that I didn't have another reason for it, that I didn't have anything else for it? And he looked at himself and he said, no, the pay is for people to see them. My tefillin, because I need my tefillin. Can you imagine me walking the street without tefillin? Tzitzis? I need these things. Everything that I'm doing because of other people or for other things around there. But my bris milah, that I did L'Shem Shemayim. So I have one mitzvah that I've done L'Shem Shemayim. One thing that I was able to do. And he sat there and he smiled and he said, oh, I got something. And that's the idea behind the Gemara. That's Rabbi Twersky's addition to the Reb Schwab. What's wrong with doing things for other reasons? Why can't you do something Shalol Lishma? Well, everybody knows me, Tov Shalol Lishma, Bo Lishma. What's the problem with doing it Shalol Lishma? What's the problem with that? What's the issue? Because if the Siba falls off, you might stop doing the mitzvah. If the only reason why I'm wearing payas is because I'm around other Jews and I want people to see look at my payas, and then all of a sudden I'm in a place where there are no Jews, then I might cut off my payas. I'm not doing it for the right reasons, I'm just doing it because, you know, everybody else is doing it. I got this. If you wear tefillin and you always go to minyan, you daven at 7 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning, and you normally go to minyan at 7:30, so what's going to happen when those guys aren't there? What's going to happen when there's no one else around and you're in the middle of Hoboken or Peoria or somewhere weird where there's no other Jews, or if there's probably a Babich place somewhere, but there's not going to be anything, you know, there's not going to be anybody there davening at 7 o'clock. So what are you going to do? Are you going to keep davening at 7 o'clock? Or are you going to roll back over, sleep until 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, and then get up and slowly put on your tefillin, daven 2 minchas, maybe 3, you probably marav the night before. You know, and just sit there. You can't daven 3. That's not halachically correct. Sorry. But you sit there and you just say, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's going to happen when it comes down to the point where there's nobody else with you? So why is Shalol Lishma so bad? Well, Mike, I'm still doing the mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah. I may not be doing it for the right reasons, but I'm still doing the mitzvah. The reason why it's so bad, the reason why Chazal don't want you to do it Lishma, the reason why there's things against doing it Shalol Lishma, is because you never know what's going to happen. You don't know where you might find yourself. You don't know where you're going to be. And there may be a situation or a place where you'll be and you'll sit there and you'll say, I don't want to do this mitzvah. And you'll stop doing it. So a person has to get himself to start doing it Lishma. So how do we get there? So Chazal say, Mitov Shalol Lishma, Bo Lishma. But that's conditional. Tosfos says, if you're learning Torah Shalol Lishma in order to argue, if you're learning Torah Shalol Lishma for the kavod involved, then it may not ever become Lishma. Why not? You know, it's very hard. Let's think. I mean, I've been doing mitzvah since I was 13. I'm 29 now. So 13 to 29, pretty much 16 years, so the geniuses in math over here. 16 years of doing mitzvos. So am I doing it Lishma? I've been doing it for 16 years. Let's say my first year in Eretz Yisrael was the first year that I did mitzvos. Let's bring it down to like 18. Okay, so 18. 29 minus 18 is 11. It's 11 years of doing mitzvos. Mitosh lo Lishma bo Lishma, right? So by now, I should be doing everything Lishma. When I put on tefillin in the morning, there should be nothing else. When I daven, it should be for no other reason. When I learn, it should be everywhere. I got a Gemara in three places in Shas. So why isn't it Lishma? Something wrong. I don't really want it to be Lishma. You don't really want that. You know how I can prove it to you? Because when you do something good, you want to tell someone. You don't want to keep it to yourself. You know you have like great line when you're by yourself? You're like, you know, you're sitting, you're like washing your face in the morning in the bathroom, and you overhear something, and you're like, and you got the water in your mouth so you can't really speak, but you thought of the best line ever. The best line ever. You're just like, oh, you've got a great line. So you go out, and it's already 10 seconds later. It's like, and you say the line, and the other person's like, that was like 20 minutes ago. What are you trying to do? Just like, I know, but I had the greatest line, and I couldn't tell it to you, and I had nothing. You know, like you think about the conversation that you had earlier, and you're like, oh, I have a great line. And you really want to tell it over to the guy? Because you're not satisfied. You really want other people to know how good you are. Call that gaiva, and it is gaiva. It is. It's a point of where you want people to know what you've done. I remember eating at someone's house, classic. I was engaged, and we ate over at somebody's house, myself, my wife, and the person in this house, he was a very big tzaddik. What happened was, is that somebody broke a glass, you know, knocked something over, and it broke. And, you know, a couple minutes later, the host broke his glass. So he's like, oh, okay. You see, it's normal. It happens to everybody. Right? So I was like, that's very impressive. Clearly, he was doing it for that. But then his wife got up and said, my husband does that all the time. Whenever somebody breaks something, he makes sure to break something also, so that he doesn't make the other person feel bad. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I got it. I figured that out. I know. But it's like, it's the point where you got to tell somebody, like, you got to see how big of a tzaddik my husband is. You got to know. If you didn't get this, here, let me put it in a silver platter for you. Let me show you, and then I'll break it. I got to show you exactly what happened over here. It's like, it's a point where you sit there, and you need to tell somebody. You did something right. You picked up a piece of garbage in the street. You got to tell somebody. You know the piece of garbage that was over there? That was me. Yeah, towel that was folded? It was me. You know who cleaned up the base matters? That's right. I did it. Nobody else. It was just me. Hey, remember that baseball game yesterday? Yeah, it was my home run. Did it win the game? No, I just hit a home run. It's just classic. I have conversations with people where, like, I'm not even saying anything. And I have this problem. I'm not saying that I don't have this problem. But I have this problem also where I want to get involved and say, well, I did that also. You know, something like that. But I remember having this conversation with people where I'm talking to somebody, and I use a big word. I don't have a good vocabulary. I know like 6 words from those little, you know, calendar things that you have. Gregarious, I think I used once. Gregarious, a very gregarious person. And the person's like, oh yeah, well, I know big words also. I'm like, what are you, 3? You're 3 years old? Okay. So what did I say? Of course, I'm a Balgaiva also. This was 8 years ago. I still remember this. I said, wow, you are quite loquacious. And the guy looks at me and he's like, I can still know. Like, we're still going at it. I couldn't believe it. Like, what did you get in your SATs? Like, what difference does it make? Does it really make that much of a difference? But that's where we are. We just want to go up and we want to keep going and further until you prove I'm right. And even if you're, sometimes, you know, you don't want to be right. You just like, you hint to the fact that you know better, but you're just like, okay, yeah, sure, okay. And then you walk away. And you think like, oh, I'm good, because I didn't get him back. You did! You're like hinting to the fact that I know better. I know, yeah, sure. Whatever you want to say, I'm like, come on. This is the way we are. It's not a question of l'shem shamayim. I don't think we're on that level of trying to do things l'shem shamayim. It's a question of wanting it to be l'shem shamayim. Of wanting to eventually be doing things for the right reasons. For the right reasons, for the right things. And you know where you can tell? You know how you can tell? I know this is my last schmooze until the break. Until Pesach vacation. I believe next week is my last one, right? So this week is not my last one. I'm going to be talking about this again a little bit next week. No, no, I know this isn't. Hold on, I knew that. Think. You say, I realize, and I sit there and I, you can tell so easily by a person in Bein Hazmana. What does he do? Does he still get up? Well, first you have to get up during the Zman. But if the person is getting up during the Zman, does he still get up? Does he still learn? Does he still do anything? You know, I've always had this issue where a person comes up to me and says, my parents won't let me dot, dot, dot. My parents won't allow me to dot, dot, dot. And whether it comes to, in Eretz Yisrael, it was, my parents won't let me come back to Eretz Yisrael. Whether it comes to now me recruiting, my parents need me to go to college. And this and that and the other. You know, listen, there are always exceptions to this rule. There's always an exception. But there are people in this room that can prove to you that that's not right. Whose parents are people that would say, there's no way you're going to yeshiva. And yet they're in yeshiva. There are people whose parents would be the exact opposite. There's no way you're going to college. And yet they're in the yeshiva college. Goes the exact opposite way. You can see that that's not always true. So what's the difference? Again, there are always exceptions. Always exceptions. It goes with how you act in front of your parents. If your parents look at you, and when they see you, you're not getting up for minyan, and you're not learning, all you're doing is sitting on the couch and watching TV all day long when you have a vacation, they're not impressed. But during this Zman, I learn for 8 hours a day. Okay, but they don't see you during this Zman. They're not looking from the video camera over there. It's only Hillel Efron. There's no one else who's looking. Nothing's happening. So what are they going to see? All they see is, I sent my son to yeshiva, and he's not getting up for davening. I sent my son to yeshiva, he's not standing up for me when I come into the room. I sent my son to yeshiva, and he still won't clean up his plate from off his table. He makes me do everything. How about a, hey mom, I'll take care of the dishes for you. Or say it this way, hey wife, I'll take care of the dishes for you. Instead of just leaving them on the table and letting it stay dirty. If a person does that, things change. And again, not always. There are always the extremists. The parents that absolutely will not agree. The parents that will absolutely not give in. There are always those people. But do you know how many people were able to change their mind? Parents that would never have dreamed in a billion years of sending their kids to yeshiva. When they came back and they showed the parents, this is what I'm like when I come back from yeshiva. They said, go ahead. Go for another couple years. If that's what you're like now, I can't imagine. And when a person says to themselves, well, they're for sure never going to pay for them, you never know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. You never know if a parent really sees an oppressive thing from their child. You have no idea what can happen to that person. Because they look and they say, well, this person is improved. This person is unbelievable. There's no parent out there that wants their kid to suffer. They want what's best for their child. They may not think this is best for their child, but if they see the child is doing better, then they'll do it for them. Think about what you would do for your kid. And don't think, well, if you wanted to go to yeshiva, I would for sure do that. Think of if your kid wanted to do something which you think is not good for him, but Lamaisi is becoming a better person. It's not good for him. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do then? Well, it's a hard call because we have to deal with religion within that type of a question. What if he wants to be a monk? And he decides that's making him a better person. Well, it's obviously not making him a better person. You have to realize every situation. But that's what they want. And this is the time to show it. Whether you're home for a couple days, whether it's at your parents' house or your in-law's house, whether it's at somebody else's house, it doesn't make a difference where it is. What are your parents seeing when you're there? Are they seeing an impressive person or they're just seeing a guy? Excuse this term. But just wearing black and white, but not acting the part. What are they seeing? What do they want to see? What do they want to look at? That's the difference of how a person does this. And maybe that's the whole shot behind what we say in Avarabba. I asked this question to Rav Asher Ha'eli once at a Siyum, and he gave me an answer of kiyum aget. But I asked, what's lekayim? Lishmoa, lilmod, lamed, to learn, to teach, lishmor, velasos, to keep, to be shomer on the los ases, to do the mitzvahs ases, ulekayim, as called divrei zolasecha. What's ulekayim? To be makayim them, to do them? We said lishmor velasos. To learn them? We already said lilmod lamed. So what's ulekayim? So Rav Asher told me, it's lakayim is the lashon of kiyum aget. You have to put an asharta on it. You got to put a stamp on it and say, this is what Beis Din says. This is what Beis Din is. A kiyum aget is putting it in you and saying, I'm a different person because of it. I'm a brand new person. I'm not just doing the mitzvos. I'm doing the mitzvos because they're good things. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do them. That's why I'm doing them. There might be pneos. But if a person sits there and he does a shul lishma and he wants to do it lishma, he wants to do it for the right reasons, to the point where nobody else is watching, not even his parents. And your parents are watching, even if they're not. They have spies everywhere. Everywhere. And there are people that are looking at you no matter what, and they'll always go up to them, and there's people all the time who will go up to your parents, whether I've had this with my experience, my parents-in-law. I never thought anyone was anywhere near me, and all of a sudden there was a person there. Thank God it's been good for good things. They haven't said any bad things about me yet. For good things. You just got to be careful. You have no idea where you are. One time I think I was in ESPN zone with my wife. It must have been right after we first got married. And somebody saw me there and saw me help out somebody in the little, I don't know, whatever it was. I was obviously trying to impress my wife. And the person was Jewish. And went ahead and told my father-in-law what a good person I am because I did that. One time when I was picking up my wife from somewhere, I waited to go until she put on her seatbelt. And the person's like, you're such a safe driver. No idea who's watching. You have no idea. And all of a sudden, things can just happen. And that's the idea of lekayim. To lekayim them in yourself, to say to yourself, this is what I want. That I really want to do it lishma. And then eventually we'll be able to come to it. Mitosho lishma ba lishma. I'm not doing things lishma. I know it in myself. I know right now I'm not. But I know that I can. And I know that I want to. And I know that I'm thinking about that every time I get up in the morning and I put on tefillin. And I say to myself, would I really put them on if I wasn't in yeshiva? And each day I say to myself, yes, I would. And I demand it from myself. I say, I would. You're right, I'm doing it right now because it's in front of yeshiva guys. And if I would get up there without tefillin, it would look a little silly. But I would. I'm convincing myself that so. And eventually it will be that way. Eventually it will be totally lishma. Where you don't even notice that there's other people in the room. I put on tefillin because I want to put on tefillin. And for no other reason. Because I want to. Because kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Just like my bris mila. That's the level. To end off, the Mishkan was Shalom Lishma. The Rav Schwab also has another piece, that there's no such thing as Mito Shalom Lishma Balishma when it came to the Mishkan. No such thing. Because Mishkan was on such a high level, you want the Shechina down, you gotta do it Lishma. So what about the other people? There's only one time where it doesn't say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. In the whole parsha, Pekudeh. Check it out. By one thing that's made. The chatzar. The chatzar outside of the Ohel Moed does not say the words Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Why? Because by the chatzar, every Jew has to go in. The Aron, the menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach, both of them, the Ohel Moed itself, all those things, it was holy people that were involved there. The Kohanim, the Kohanim Gedolim, holy people were getting these begadim. By the Mishkan, but the outside of the Mishkan, the chatzar on the outside, everybody has to be allowed in. Every Jew, even those Jews that are Shalom Lishma. You bring them into the chatzar, they see the Ohel Moed, and they desire and they want to go further. You got to have that desire. Get that desire. Grab it and pull it for yourself. I guarantee you will never have a problem with your parents, with your wife, with your friends, for the rest of your life. And if I'm wrong, I'll take it to Shemayim. What am I going to say? You did it at the best of your ability, Lishma. Well, what else could you do? You did an unbelievable act. I'll take it to Shemayim and I'll take the blame for it. That I told this person they were going to get tremendous things. There's nothing else to say. We can do such tremendous things. We should. We should all be good. Everything should be good for the Shabbos with the Yeshiva Bowl. Have fun. Everybody's going to be here. Have a good Shabbos. There is one other thing for the guy.